Hey everybody, this is Pierre Quinn and you're listening to episode number 93 of the Leading While Green podcast, where my mission is to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. My guest on this episode is Theron Green, who serves as a vice president and market leader for BB&T Bank in the greater Washington region. And we have a conversation about finance 101, about what leaders can do to get a handle on their personal finances and the finances of their organization. And we talk about his professional journey and how he's gotten to the place where he sits now, advising people from all walks of life to have better financial health. We have a great conversation. So listen up. Thanks for joining me on episode 93. We are pushing forward. We'll be at episode 100 before we know it. I want to encourage you to leave that 5-star review and comments on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can even ask Alexa to play the latest episode of the Leading While Green podcast. Listen, there are hundreds of you that listen to this podcast every single week. So it would be really cool to have hundreds of podcast reviews. I also want to invite you to check out prcquinn.com for updates on things that I have going on. Most importantly, right now, my new book, Leading While Scared, How to Find the Courage to Keep Going, will be released in July. And if you're on my mailing list, you'll be the first to have the details about my new book. I'm really excited to share it with the world. I'm really excited to share it with you. And the journey has been amazing. And all of your support is a very big part of what we're able to do, not just in on this podcast, but everything that comes out of this Leading While Green platform and at prcquinn.com. Okay, my guest today is Theron Green. He's an industry veteran with over 20 years of experience in banking, finance, and financial services. Currently, he serves as vice president and market leader for BB&T Bank in the greater Washington region. He's responsible for the consultation, business development, and portfolio management of select small businesses. He's also the managing principal and senior advisor at T. Green Advisory Group, an independent firm that specializes in strategic financial planning and business development. And he's also a senior consultant for BMI, Bankers Management Incorporated, a minority-owned bank subject matter training firm. He earned an undergraduate degree in PR from Florida A&M University and his executive master's of business administration from Howard University. He's been married for 23 years, the proud father of two, and he's a man of faith. And we have a great conversation today about finances and entrepreneurship, leadership, and faith. Here's my conversation with Theron Green.
Thank you for the opportunity to join you today as well. Looking forward to the conversation.
So take us back. Take us back to your early days, where you were born and raised, and what life was like.
How far do you want to go back now? Born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia. Went to undergrad school at Florida A&M. Go Rattlers. Met my darling wife there. And actually, my degree is in public relations and marketing. And so how did I wind up in finance? It's a good story. So my first job out of college was with Walmart, as a matter of fact. I had some retail experience or what have you. And so I was put into their management training program. And that was a really eye-opening experience. And not only being in retail, but actually being in leadership and management in retail. That is a wonderful experience. You know, one of the things that Walmart taught me was, of course, a very, very good work ethic. At the same time, it also teaches you, to really look at things, not just from a micro standpoint, but also looking from a macro standpoint, looking how to manage the personnel, how to manage the sales, how to manage the operations, and how to manage the service. Those things that I learned there had really carried me throughout my career, not just in retail, but also in the financial services and what I do now. And so that was really a great starting point for my corporate leadership piece. after my career with Walmart, I actually started in banking. And one of the things when I first started in banking was I had no idea that I would be selling stuff. You know, mm-hmm. financial services is all about service and, of course, sales. Mm-hmm. And I was definitely used to doing the coaching piece, you know, making sure they're leading the team. And, you know, I had that down pat. But I never really saw myself as a salesman, I should say. And so going into banking, did the coaching, did the operations, did the service piece. But of course, the sales piece was the one I had to really kind of get acclimated to. And so I acclimated to it very, very well. Within my career, I've done a lot of different roles. I've done retail banking. I've done small business banking. I've done commercial banking. I've done wealth management banking. And so really all those experiences throughout my career have kind of really brought to where I am today. And so now I had an epiphany, or even I just heard from Holy Spirit, well, Theron, this is really your time to really kind of coach and overcoach and really kind of give back and kind of, you know, definitely make sure that the generation of leaders coming up now are equipped with not only the leadership aspect of it, but also the finance aspect of it as well. So
we met when I was taking the executive leadership for ministers certificate program at Howard University. And you mentioned your faith. What are some of the major challenges that you deal with people who are faith-based leaders in churches and nonprofits and their basic understanding of money and wealth management and banking? And how have you faced some of those challenges?
Sure. A lot of the things that I've really have come across, and I think this passion has really originated during my dealings during my banking career. Of course, I've noticed that a lot of leaders, CEOs, chief operating officers or what have you, are great at actually doing the operation side and the service side. But they were kind of lacking when it comes to the finance piece, relying on some folks who are not qualified to talk about finances or what have you. And so what I found was, of course, if we just really can kind of get down to the really basic stuff, okay, let's talk about how you handle your personal finances, you know, and kind of equate that to really handling the organization's finances. And what I also found that it's really prevalent when it comes to the nonprofit space as well, preferably churches, I should say. And so I think the misnomer is, okay, churches are an organization, but also if you really think about it, churches are a business as well, because again, the revenue stream comes from the parishioners. Of course, the expenses are still there. So yes, it's an organization, but it is a business too, because you have to kind of increase the revenue stream to be able to sustain the expenses. Mm-hmm. And so just really kind of teaching it from that basic standpoint, it has really been an eye-opening experience for a lot of the folks that I've come in contact with, especially the CEOs and the pastors of the organization.
You did something during your presentation to the pastors and ministry leaders when we were at Howard that I think I may have been introduced to a time before, but it was mm-hmm. really telling in how individuals look at this idea of money and business in their organization. You gave us this quiz called The Psychology of Money. Can you walk us through what that exercise is all about and how our personal thoughts on money impact how we reflect money and finance when it comes to our organization?
Sure. That was one of the fun parts about my job. One of the things that I really enjoy doing, I'm a problem solver. And so a part of the being a problem solver is really kind of, if you really think about it, it's really kind of peeling back the onion to kind of get to the root of the issue. And especially as a counselor, especially as a financial, as an advisor, you want to kind of get an understanding of where people are coming from so we can actually make the right recommendation, as opposed to just pushing out a product or pushing out advice without really understanding where the people are coming from. And so one of the things that I enjoy doing is really talking about financial behaviors. And so with the financial behaviors, i.e. the personality of money, it really kind of peels back to some of the behaviors that you really think about. So for example, what do you, when you receive a lump sum of money, do you, save it? Do you spend it? Or do you think about, do you hold on for 30 days? That kind of gives an idea, okay, are you a saver? Are you a spender? Are you a money monk, the person that kind of gives away money without even saving it for themselves? Hmm. Or are you entrepreneurial-minded? Are you an amasser or what have you? So those are some of the questions that are compiled in this particular quiz that kind of give you an idea of what is your thoughts or your personality concerning money. And so those personality traits, again, are if you're a spender, okay, when I get money in, I just blow it. You know, it burns a hole in my pocket. exactly. A lot of folks kind of do that. The money monk. The money monk is the person who, you know what, when I get this money, I'm just going to give it away or what have you. I'm just giving away the whole, everything that I actually have. Again, there's nothing wrong with that. But also at the same time, you have to kind of bring in the reins. Okay, you don't want to give everything away because you do have to live as well. The amasser. The amasser is that person who's that entrepreneurial-minded person. Hey, when I get this money, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. I already have a plan. I'm going to try to get more money. What have you. Then, of course, you have the folks who actually the misers as well. So the folks who just hoard money, the hoarders. I'm going to get this money. I'm just going to hold on to it. You know, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to hold it. Those are the savers, of course, but also they are the hoarders. And so really kind of think about how does that personality trait, equate to how you handle money, even in the workplace, when you go on vacation. Just it really kind of opens your eyes to a lot of different things concerning that.
What's the mistake of making as a organizational leader of saying, well, I'll let the finance people just worry about the money. I'll kind of just stay in my lane of operations or doing the business. We hired people for that, or we got volunteers for that. Why is it important, especially as the senior leader, to be cognizant of what's going on with your organization financially?
Exactly. So definitely one of the responsibilities of a senior leader is what's called oversight. And oversight is not just limited to the operations piece or the service piece. It includes the financial aspect of it as well. Consider, for example, years ago, I know in the D.C. government, there was a fraud situation where somebody who was working at tax office had literally siphoned money over the years because of lack of oversight. Hmm. And this person ended up scamming the D.C. government probably, I can't remember, like $3 or $4 million over like a 5 or 6 year period. Hmm. And so do you want to have that situation repeated within your organization? I know I've talked to a lot of pastors, a lot of CEOs of small businesses that have been victims of not just external fraud, but there's a lot of internal fraud as well. And so the only way to really minimize internal fraud is to really have a lot of oversight, to have some working knowledge of, okay, you don't have to be a financial genius. However, at least to have some working knowledge of, okay, what is this income statement telling me? What is this balance sheet telling me? What is this cash flow statement telling me? You don't have to really kind of dive down into the numbers, but you should have some type of working knowledge of what's kind of going on. If you see your expenses are skyrocketing from 1 year to the next, that's kind of a red alarm, so a red flag or what have you. But so you should have some working knowledge of what's kind of going on with your finances, because again, you don't want to be in a situation where you're kind of playing catch up because money's missing over a period of years.
Talk to me about BB&T Bank and how you, as you're teaching, as you're working with clients, what was the process for you to arrive at your current role as vice president and market leader?
Sure. So at my current role, so I've been with BB&T for 4 years. And you know, over the years, and so when they look at it, when it comes to officer titles and things, that's what look at experience, how well you have done with not only on the operations side, on the service side, but also look how well you've done on the sales side as well. And so throughout the years, I've done well on all three. It's, you know, it has been a journey. You know, it hasn't been an easy journey, of mm-hmm. course, but it has been a journey to kind of really be that go-to person when it really comes to you know, really taking care of the clients. And one of the things that I can definitely say about BB&T, the culture for BB&T is really, really customer-oriented. And that's really one of the things that I enjoy about it. I don't consider myself a salesperson. I consider myself a relationship builder. Mm-hmm. And if you build the relationships, it's like you will feel the dreams; they will come. Mm-hmm. And so that has really been the pinpoint for my success. It's really building not only external relationships but building internal relationships as well. So
now, in this relationship building, and I want to go back to a point that you made earlier about the basics that leaders should know when it comes to the financial side of their business. Do you have an experience that you can share? And I know you may have to change names and locations and all of that, but an experience where you had to sit down with a business owner and really walk them through finance 101 and business 101 because they were just lost when it came to their operation.
Oh yeah, I can kind of give you two. And so I actually had to sit down with a pastor of a church. He was pretty much doing that's kind of changed today. He was pretty much, you know, running two ministries and what have you, but really was not in touch with the finance piece. And so what I really had to do is really kind of sit down with him. Okay, well, tell me what is keeping you up at night? And of course, the main thing was keeping up, of course, cash flow, how to handle the finances, whatever. And so before we even started talking about the church's finances, okay, well, so pastors, so tell me how you are handling your personal finances. And so that kind of caught him off guard. And really kind of peeling back, okay, well, I never had an understanding about personal finances, and so I kind of shy away from that. Okay, so pastor, so you tell me that you are shying away from your personal finances. How is it? Is that translating over to the church's finances now? And so he kind of agreed, yeah, that, you know, because he really never got an understanding of how to handle the personal, he really never really thought about should he get into the business finances as well. So we really had to kind of really pull back the onion. Okay, this is how you handle your personal finances. This is the budget. This is your income. This is your expenses. And just as we talk about the personal scope, we will talk about the business aspect of it at the same time and how they both kind of relate it to each other. Of course, business has a little bit more intricacies, but the basics are still the same. And so we really had to kind of pull back there. And so after that, it was like the light bulb kind of went on. And so, oh yeah, I could definitely have. The ministry is doing better, and himself personally is doing better as well. And this is probably about five, 6 years ago what happened. And I'm glad to hear that the ministry is continuing to grow. One of the other aspects of my opportunity that I've had was I've actually had opportunity to actually talk with some of the professional players as well. And so, you know, some of the local basketball players were a couple of my clients. And of course, the stories that you hear about athletes kind of getting, you know, large chunks of money and really going through it, that's definitely true. And so I had to really sit down with one, let's kind of talk about, you know, what do you want to be doing after you playing basketball? I know you don't want to play basketball forever. You're not going to be able to play basketball forever. What's really your long-term goal? Okay. If that is the case, let's try to put some things into place now because you want to try to have that same level of lifestyle after you, quote-unquote, retire from basketball. Mm-hmm. Because you don't want to go from from the high point all the way down to the low point of what happened. We've seen that happen too often. You don't want to be that statistic. You want to be the one that kind of stands out from everyone else. And so we had to kind of really kind of peel back some things. Okay, you're spending too much here. You're spending too much there. Let's talk about, okay, how much do you want to spend? How much, you know, what's really your budget here? Let's even talk about your credit. Let's kind of pull back that veil and see how your credit is. And so really kind of getting an understanding of where the client wants to be and where they are now and helping them navigate between the two is really what my specialty is. And so after he kind of we agreed to a plan, I agreed to be, of course, his financial partner. We talked about a plan, but of course he was the one that actually had to put it into action. Mm. And so we talked about it, and he actually ended up, selling one of his cars because he really didn't need, a $200,000 car. Okay, let's kind of peel back. There's nothing wrong with that. You can do that, but based on your goals, you might not want to have that right now. Mm. And so he kind of, talked about some of the credit cards, kind of peeled back. And so he kind of went from a spender to more of a kind of a saver, money monger, what have you. So which was a good thing because he was really overspending. And so now he's actually doing really well outside of basketball now. And I can't say what he's doing, but he's doing really well outside of basketball now.
This idea of financial literacy seems to be just absent from curriculums, absent from training. If I'm an emerging leader, if I'm a young executive and I want to get coached or training on basic financial literacy for myself and then also for my business, what are some ways that I could go about doing that?
Well, one of the things that kind of stuck with me, even when I was at Walmart, one of my managers always told me was, Darren, you're great with people. You do so and you do well in the operations piece. But one of the things that you always should remember is know your numbers. Hmm. Know your numbers. Whether it be your department sales, whatever. But it was just really, okay, I will always, and we're talking about, oh my God, 20 something years ago now. Just know your numbers, because when asked, it's always, you should come off the top of your head. But definitely know your numbers. And so for any young man who's coming out of college who wants to have a fresh start or just any mid-career changes, always kind of know your numbers. There are plenty of books out there. The Dummy's Guide to Financial Management, the Financial Intelligence for professionals. There are a ton of books out there, but also, the Bible always says, definitely seek wise counsel in the multiple counsel, there's wisdom. So don't be afraid to ask any questions with a certified professional as well. Avail yourself to the information, whether it be in books, whether it be in a lecture, whether it be in a conference, whether it be in a seminar. That's all the way that you can continue to grow. You don't want to have, be standing still, but you always want to be moving forward. I want to have you, sir.
Now, you're a person of faith. I'm a person of faith. Yes. Sometimes we have challenges with our churches and our ministries when it comes to money. And sometimes as ministry leaders and pastors, we throw out this word, and this word is supposed to be the answer to all of our problems without sometimes the perspective of without financial responsibility. And the word that we throw out sometimes is faith. What's in your experience? What's a good relationship between faith and financial management, especially, in a church space where we have building projects and concerns about income and things that we want to do as leaders? How do we wrestle with faith and finance?
Well, and the Bible definitely says, faith without works is dead. And so we have to put in the work no matter what it is. And finance is just one of those areas that has always been a taboo area or an area that a lot of folks don't want to kind of talk about. And so we have to have a honest conversation around finances. We have to, definitely talk about finances from the pulpit, because it really starts with the leadership piece. If the leaders are not talking about the finances, then of course the finances would not be a major subject within the ministry. Finances has to be on pretty much on not necessarily on the top of people's mind, but it has to be a subject of importance, because again, without finances, really nothing can kind of flow as it should. And so to mirror and to marry faith and finances, is it a challenge? Can it be a challenge? Sure, it can be a challenge. But at the same time, can it be something that can be done? So yes, it can be done. Finances is definitely within the Bible. I always tell folks, especially people of faith, is always have Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is going to be the best financial counselor that you actually have. And so I know there's a book that Dr. Creflo Dollar has concerning that, but that, Holy Spirit is always going to be the end all be all when it comes to your finances.
We talk about, faith and having the Holy Spirit as our principal advisor.
Yeah.
You also serve as an advisor. Talk to me a little bit about the T-Green Advisory Group and sure. What was the impetus behind that?
So the impetus behind that was, when I started getting invitations outside of work to really talk about exactly the things we're talking about now. How do I do this concerning my ministry? How do I do this concerning my business? How do I, do this concerning my personal finances? And so, and again, BBT has afforded me the opportunity to really talk about it, all those things. But one of the impetus behind T-Green Advisory Group was really talking about helping pastors really understand, okay, really there's a major component in ministry called finances that a lot of folks and pastors are really shying away from. And so I think that was really the impetus behind that. And of course it has expanded from not just pastors, but also, business owners and small business owners as well. I'm also partnering with, and I think I've said this to you, partnering with Bankers Management Group when it comes to really giving seminars concerning financial subjects, whether it be about lending, whether it be about home ownership, whether it be about the commercial lending space. So it has been a journey. I always tell folks, my mom is a retired teacher. My wife is in education. My best friend is in education. So I'm surrounded by educators, and I have no choice but to be kind of teaching about this. And so really my passion is really teaching and about in finances. I've kind of married the two.
Well, not only emphasizing and underscoring this need for teaching in your work in the financial services industry, but at some point in your career, you said you needed to go back and do some more learning. Talk to us about your decision to pursue an executive MBA and impact this had on your career and on your business.
Oh yeah, so and really the inspiration around me going back to get my executive, I was 45. That's, oh my God, I'm too old to go back to school. I think one of the reason why I wanted to go back was, of course, I wanted to just kind of expand my horizons. We always hear about, leaders are readers and, always, mm-hmm. always learning. Of course, my mom was a retired teacher. Always told me to read, always told me to learn. And so my focus was really, okay, if I really want to be into a leadership role or a C-suite role or to kind of really expand my horizons concerning leadership, I think an executive MBA would be great. Number one, because it will kind of put you in the mindset of an executive. I'm not saying that MBA programs are not doing that, but this is a concentrated executive MBA program that really kind of drives the point where, okay, executives focus on this. So the Howard University program was a very, very good program, and I was fortunate enough to be in the original cohort, and so wanted to be kind of a trendsetter when it came to that concerning that particular program. And so that was a great program for myself, 18 months. But I think one of the main drivers for me to really kind of go back, my mother-in-law, after having five girls at the age of 50, got her undergrad. And I think after maybe 55, she went and got back her 55, she got her, graduate degree. I think, my mother-in-law can do this at 50. What am I holding myself back for? And so she was kind of an inspiration for me to do it too. So, my mother, got her graduate degree right after undergrad. I waited maybe 15 years to get my graduate degree, but again, it's never too late to go back. Never too late to go back. So those were the reasons why the inspiration for me going to my executive MBA.
You mentioned that part of what you do is relationship building, and look at these tools that you have, this experience in retail and baking, this going back later to get the graduate degree, all of these just knowledge base that you have. To talk to us about why it takes more than just industry knowledge and book knowledge and training and experience. It also takes relationships for leaders across industries to be successful.
Oh yeah, definitely. I've learned that, your net worth is as big as your network. And so, because you never know who you're going to meet when you network, whether it be within the organization or outside the organization, I had the opportunity to meet, congressmen. I've met, CEOs of organizations, of major organizations. Met, like I said, professional athletes. Even me meeting professional athletes came about as opposed to a network. One athlete actually led to another. I actually ended up having like four or five professional athletes on one particular team locally as clients, because again, that was part of a network. Again, the affinity was, again, even starting off with passion, when I was in wealth management, not only did I have the professional athletes, I had some of the more prominent ministers in this particular area as well. No names, I won't drop any names, but but as clients, again, once you have one and actually treat them, do them well, do right, they will tell you about the others and so on and so forth. So it is paramount to really build positive relationships. And I teach this to my kids as well, because you never know who you're going to come in contact with on a day-by-day basis, whether it be on a commuter bus, whether it be even going to lunch, or what have you, because you never know who you're going to come in contact with. So building those positive relationships, it's paramount. My pastor always tells, hang around those who have your answer and get away from those who have your problem. And so building that network is the right folks to have who have your answer, because you never know who has your answer.
So I think we can end with this thought and something for you to help us chew on. I'm a young leader. I'm an emerging leader. I got a seat of influence, but my personal finances are in shambles. I don't understand the finances of the organization that I'm being called to lead and serve. And I'm scared to even look at the numbers. Why should I pick up the phone and call someone like you or another expert who has a similar insight for help?
And the question, and I get this one a lot. And so the question is, I would kind of rebound to that would be, okay, why suffer in silence? It's like, I don't like using this example, but if, if someone is, if you have any type of other issue, okay, why suffer in silence? If you need help, definitely need help. Swallow that, that spirit of pride is really prevalent when it comes to finances, because finances are personal. finances are. You know, this is just me. This is my whole world. You know, you're coming into my world now. I'm letting the guard down. And so there's nothing wrong with really kind of letting the guard down. Finances don't define you. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of folks are kind of really kind of taking on. This is what defines me. My finances define me. And if you see that I'm not doing well, you're going to think I'm not a well person because of my finances. Well, No, I'm not going to think that. My job is to be that financial doctor. You go to the doctor when you have an issue. You go to, go to the eye doctor. You go to the dentist. Just think about a financial advisor as the doctor to help your quote unquote financial sickness get better, to alleviate your financial sickness. And so that's what I try to encourage folks to do. Say, we are the financial doctors. Give us the opportunity to help you feel better concerning your finances.
If we have questions or looking for some guidance, what's the best way to get in contact with you? Website, social media, LinkedIn, how can we reach out?
Sure, you can reach me on LinkedIn, of course, Theron Green. But the for TQE Advisory Group, the best number to reach me would be 301-684-8238. And the website is tgreenadvisorygroupllc.com. And also, again, you can also look at bbt.com, my current employer, as well.
My guest today has been Theron Green, the vice president, and market leader for BB&T Bank in the greater Washington region, and also managing principal and senior advisor at T Green Advisory Group. Mr. Green, thanks for being my guest today. We learned a lot, and I know our audience is going to benefit from it.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity.
Conversations about financial matters can be some of the most difficult talks to have. But as a leader, there's no way that you can avoid them. And if you need to get a better handle on your personal finances and the finances of your organization, if you need a better understanding of financial principles, I encourage you to reach out to Theron and pick his brain. I left his email address in the show notes. Also, you can connect with him via LinkedIn. I put that in the show notes as well so that you can get a better handle on your personal and organizational finances. Hey, that's all I got for this episode. You know it's my mission to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. So until next time, take care and God bless.